as we talked about Uranus, consciousness, sound, frequency, sacred geometry, math, high mathematics, numbers, that are the foundation for this matrix, the divine matrix, all of geometry that underlies all of the creation that is that lives on Uranus. Now, Uranian state of love is when those geometrical, however cold and mental it sounds, or numerical formations come to harmony.
Coherence.
That's coherence. And that's the feeling on in human form of love.
Ah, yes.
So, although Aquarius is mental and Uranus is a mental plane, and everything in this created reality is mind-based, that doesn't make it cold. Because coherence, harmony, just like that mandala behind me, is love.
Welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast. I'm Amanda Pruel Walsh, founder of Astrology Hub, and your host for our flagship show. We explore the many ways astrology can support you in your relationships, career, health, and personal growth. Thanks for tuning in. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Astrology Hub podcast. I am so thrilled to be here with all of you and so looking forward to the conversation that we are going to share with you here today. I am back with the one and only Natasha Alter. For those of you who don't know Natasha, please, we have so many amazing episodes with Natasha. We're going to put the links to those in the chat. You can hear more about Natasha's background, how Natasha and I came together, why Natasha is literally at the foundation of Astrology Hub and all that we offer here, and also her perspective on astrology and the planets and the universe. There's a wealth of beautiful information available to you. So go ahead and check out those links. What we're going to be covering here today is Uranus. I got one of those notorious phone calls from Natasha. We need to talk. And this time it's about Uranus. As Pluto has moved into Aquarius, as we are entering into the Aquarian age, with Uranus as the modern ruler of Aquarius, it is essential that we understand Uranian energy. So Natasha has a lot to share with us here today. And Natasha, welcome back to the show. I'm so, so happy that you're here.
Thank you so much for welcoming me. And so is my dog happy to be here?
Hi, Ravi. All right. Wonderful. Okay. So where to begin? Well, first, maybe we can start a little nuts and bolts. When is this Uranian energy especially potent? Like, what's the time frame that we're looking at?
Now and for the next quite a while. Well, because we are not only talking about Pluto ingress in Aquarius that just happened in January. We are talking about us approaching the Aquarian age. So, which is way longer than it's like it's over 2,000 years. So we are getting Aquarianized or Uranized as we move along as humanity. Mm. So in terms of time frame, there is no any kind of like lines to demark. It would be kind of erroneous to give that kind of perspective. It's just we are in it and we are going forward with it. And a lot of what is happening with humanity as we speak is indication of humanity moving to a more Aquarian kind of expression of its essence.
Okay. So now and for the rest of our lives.
And well, yes, we can say so. If For those who would like to stay in the Aquarian frequency, even after Pluto leaves Aquarius, they can stay there as well. Just like as with any other planetary field, you know, we pick and choose where we thrive to be. But it is my impression that overall, whether you know astrology or not, looking at where humanity is going with all the artificial intelligence and technology and breakthroughs in awareness, that is the direction we're all heading to.
Okay. So can you help describe this field that you're talking about, this Uranian energy, this Aquarian energy? Let's go into it.
Remember when we did Saturn episode? It was last year. We actually traveled to Saturn, as I like to space travel. We traveled to Saturn from Neptune, from outside of solar system, and that way was my way to kind of break it down and explain the essence of it. So I would like to travel again. However, this time, let's travel from Saturn or from the Earth via Mars, Jupiter, Saturn towards Uranus and see what happens.
Love it. Yes. Okay.
So ready for a little spaceship kind of trip? It's going to be won't take long because, you know, once you get to Uranus, time kind of disappears. So since you already have been trained in this space travel, let's imagine we are living this orbit of Saturn with everything that Saturnian realm contains, with all the attributes of Saturnian and sub-Saturnian reality. So let's just feel into it. While we are exiting the gates of Saturn, what would you think? What is like, what are the things that are falling off or we are dropping and leaving behind? Well, let me get started and then you can help me to continue. Okay, so physical matter, obviously, right? Anything consolidated, crystallized matter, like hard, right? Dense, we leave it behind with it. Within the orbit of Saturn. So we leave the body, right? We leave the body behind. Okay, so what else does Saturn represent that we are dropping behind? Time. Saturn rules time. Right? But Saturn rules linear time, right? Which means that from A to B to B to C, right? That linearity, that direction of time, we're leaving that behind as well. So what happens is all of a sudden the past, the future, and the present are all happening at the same time. Okay. In other words, the linearity, the continuity of time, the way we are used to it, disappears. So while we are talking about it, think about the archetype of Aquarius and the energies that are connected to Uranian influences in our charts or by transit. For example, sudden. We use the word sudden, right? Unexpected, correct? With Uranus. When Uranus comes, all of a sudden, it turns around things that we wouldn't either expect or could not be planning for. So when the Uranian energy of all time at the same moment interferes with us here in sub-Saturnian plane, it feels unexpected. However, it is not, right, from that realm. But for us who are used to plan and foresee and prepare and aim in particular direction, it's being experienced here on the earthly plane as sudden, unexpected. And that's why sometimes Uranian energies and influences are described as a shock, right? Why shock? Because in the realm where time is all happening at the same moment, the concept of shock doesn't exist or unexpected is because it is all loaded and it's all programmed in that very moment. So in other words, when we receive it, we experience as a shock because, again, we are not used to that flow of time. My dog. My Uranian dog. Okay, so let's move on. So what else we are leaving behind? What else is it we are leaving? So we left the body, right? We left linear time. So what is, when we're getting to Uranian realm, what is it we are? What's left of us? Energy. Right? Energy, frequency, vibration. I'm just using the Tesla's famous quote. If you want to understand or if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Right? So we are floating in the realm where everything that exists here in the material plane in form of matter exists in the Uranian plane in the form of frequency, vibration, energy. What we can say sound lives on the Uranian plane because sound is vibration, right? Thought. Right, lives on there as well, because it's also vibration. Information.
Would you put color there too?
Yes. I mean, I would put color as far as color is reflecting certain wavelengths of light. However, it is being perceived by us as color.
Mm-hmm.
However, over there, it's probably it's not broken yet.
Mm.
However, but yes, color, definitely, definitely. If we are talking about wavelength, so are you getting the feel of how it is to be there and move around just the pure energy?
Yes, absolutely. The other piece, Natasha, that I hear astrologers talk about with Uranian energy is the unpredictability of it. You brought in the surprise and that, you know, that element of kind of shock. I've also heard many times, it's never going to be what you think it's going to be.
Exactly.
Like when you're trying to anticipate what a Uranian transit might bring, it's not going to be the thing that you think it could be.
Exactly.
And what you're explaining explains why, because what we can imagine is still within that Saturnian realm of what
exactly
we believe is possible or what we think is possible within the confines of this reality.
Exactly.
Exactly. And so that Uranian, it goes beyond that. And that's why to us, it seems unpredictable because we're not accessing that right now.
Exactly. Exactly. So from Uranian perspective, things that are planned for you are existing already in the universe. They're embedded in the program of your incarnations. They are waiting for you. However, when it's time, when it's turned for those events to happen, and we haven't yet had experience of anything like that, it feels to us absolutely unpredictable and hard to even foresee or imagine. As we said, the future and the past and the present exist simultaneously. This is not my invention. This is simply physical, the realm of physics. You can hear physicists talking about it, right? So when Uranian transits are bringing something we could never expect, it's bringing it from the matrix that is already there. In our story, you see, the Uranian realm is a purely mental one. It's a realm of information where everything that exists, everything that is, was, and will ever be, exists in the form of information. It's like the divine database. It's like the, yeah, tell me.
Does this include the spectrum of ideas and thoughts? Because
absolutely.
Does it also include sort of the, I'm going to say, lower level thought forms that we can sometimes become entrained to in this dimension, the fear and scarcity and lack and limitation? Or is that more Saturnian? And the Uranian thought forms are of a different energetic frequency? Or is it all like, is the Uranian frequency the idea sphere, like where thoughts live?
You see, when we leave Saturnian realm, we leave behind the lower and higher. You see, the hierarchy disappears. Which means that the thought form is just the thought form. It's neither lower or higher. The pattern is just the pattern. Now, when it lands and descends and filters through the density of our reality, it can take different expression depending on the wavelength that it falls onto, depending on the frequency the frequency of the being or the entity or the phenomena that meets that form.
Whoa. Yes.
That's why the same astrological phenomena, the same transits, the same archetypes in the chart can have so many different expressions. The energy and the principle is the same, the pattern, right? The design is the same. However, what it lands onto and how it's being received and what kind of consciousness interfaces with that pattern will define the way it's going to be expressed. Okay? So, here, when we talk about higher and lower, No, let me just first mention that. Let's just stay a little bit in that state of a pure energy, frequency, vibration, sound, pattern, thought, information. Just imagine this massive divine mind where all the probabilities of its expression are already coded in that realm. All the potentialities, all the version of creations, all the version of you, all the version of anything that exists, all of the probabilities, depending on choices, it's already encoded and exists within that divine mind. So we can say that it is a pure, absolute consciousness that is expressing itself through myriads and infinite forms of its creation. Through us, through planets, through galaxies, through plants, through animals, right? But it's the same mind. It's the same consciousness. So I'll use one of my most favorite quotes, actually Aquarian quotes, is coming from Erwin Schrödinger. Schrödinger was a quantum physicist who termed the quantum entanglement expression that is now being used all over. And so his quote goes like this: the total number of minds in the universe is one. You know, if we even go deep and contemplate and take time and contemplate and meditate on that expression alone, on those few words alone, we can break through a lot of separation. Talking about raising the frequency, right? Okay.
You look a little bit overwhelmed. I'm bubbling over with questions, but I don't want to interrupt you because it's just so good.
Well, let's stay within this realm a little bit so we kind of can savor it, saturate it, and then a few minutes from now we'll have the questions. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. Now let's just mention what we already kind of briefly talked about. When we leave Saturn, what we're leaving behind is hierarchy. Higher, lower, less, more, above, under. Which Saturn is so famous to be about, hierarchy, right? Now, if you think of a pyramid with the top, you know, the pyramidal structure, for instance, of our societies, of our governments, of interhuman relationships, how much is it, it's embedded in our relationship with each other, until you come to Uranus or Aquarius. So you see that there is this mandala behind me? That's Sri Yantra. So if you look at this mandala from horizontal, if you turn it and look at it from another angle, you'll see a pyramid. Right? And this is how here on planet Earth, within the third dimension, we perceive the reality. Right? It has a height, it has a depth, it has a width. Now, when we move out from Saturn into to Uranus, all of a sudden we assume this perspective. When you turn the pyramid, it's just a circle or a square with all the bricks and all the dots equally distributed on an equal plane, where each dot and each brick is integral, inseparable part of the whole. Now, when we think about Aquarians and Aquarian essence and Aquarian nature, which is often associated with what? Humanitarian, equality, brotherly love, right? Do you understand why the Uranian mind and Aquarian mind sees the reality from this perspective? Intrinsically understanding the interconnectedness of all of us within one system and equal importance of each dot and each brick within this system. Now, I'm going to stop because I'm seeing you have full of questions and I can't deny you that.
Okay, just one. How about one? Just one.
10, 15.
Okay, this makes so much sense and explains a lot of the why certain things are associated with certain planets and certain zodiac archetypes.
Right.
So the Aquarian or Uranian viewpoint takes the pyramid and looks at it from the perspective where it can see the one mind.
One pattern.
And yes. As you described earlier, when that one pattern or one idea lands on different receptacles, let's just use humans for now, it's received differently, or it's perceived differently. So the Aquarian, there's part of the Aquarian archetype includes individuality as well. So is this what's describing, like, each one of those bricks that's creating the, or, you know, each stone that's creating the pyramid? It's equal.
Equally important.
It's not all the same.
No, it's not on the same, but it's equally important. Look, there are all different colors in this mandala. And every color has important in the gamma in the spectrum of colors. Equally important. So each dot is individuated, but it is knowing that it is a part of the whole. Because without that dot, the whole thing will fall apart.
Picture this. You step into the new year, not just with a list of resolutions, but with a pocket full of insights from the stars that help you make choices about timing, direction, and focus. Put together by an all-star cast of our best astrologers, our free 2024 Astrology Blueprint is more than predictions. It's your personal cosmic playbook for the whole year. Think of it as a chat with the universe, a way to catch those sparks of clarity that light up your journey. It's about syncing up with the stars and making the most of every moment. Consider it our holiday gift to you. And here's to a year of tapping into cosmic wisdom and personal power. Let's make 2024 a year to remember together. Get your free copy at astrologyhub.com/2024guide.
And is this, well, we get into sort of the, again, if there's no hierarchy, there really is no like shadow element, or is there? I mean, how do we understand? Because I'll go back. We've done some episodes about the quote unquote shadow of Aquarian energy, mm-hmm. where it's taking this sort of like hive mind concept mm-hmm. and kind of like whitewashing everyone, where it's like everyone now is the same.
Yes. Yes. It's the opposite of individuality.
Right.
You know, I was born in a communist country.
Right.
So they tried to create an Aquarian reality or Aquarian society. And as a result, the equalization of each human led to the deprival of individual from its natural or unique expression.
Mm.
So those are the extremes of how it can be expressed. Again, we're talking about, I mean, we're living in a very, very low vibrational realm. The third dimension is where the energy slows very much. I don't know if it's to the max. I don't know if there is any slower than this. However, the frequency is very low, which means that the energy comes down and breaks down in those expressions that are not wholesome and holistic, because again, it's being filtered and taken apart, you know, from its original unified kind of a existence. So the shadows are happening when we're limited in our access to the unified consciousness, then the expressions are getting distorted, or not even distorted. This is how it's being expressed when you cut off your awareness and consciousness from the divine unity. You see what I mean?
Yes.
So when we leave Saturn, we leave fragmentization.
Mm-hmm.
We leave the concept of separation. Right? So we come into the field where everything belongs to that one consciousness, expressing itself in infinite amount of versions, including the low mind and the darkness and the shadow, all of that, including all of that, all the versions of creation are part of it. You see, it's almost like God is watching itself. Okay, this is how it can go. This is how I can be. This is how dark it can get. It is, but it's a part of self-cognizing universe. Right? Self-reflecting universe, self-learning mind. Again, as I said, like the Schrodinger's quote, the total number of minds in the universe is one, and then it seeps down. And in our realm, the perception is so fragmented and separate that we perceive each other as separate, of course, consciousnesses, individuals. There is me, there is you, we are here, you are there, you think this way, I'm thinking that way. When we lift ourselves out of that, and this is what, you know, people who experience the glimpses of so-called enlightenment, or let's say the higher state of consciousness, that's where they are reaching. They are tapping into this unified reality. You know, Ramana Maharshi, one of the very revered Indian masters, was once asked a question, what do you think of others? Or what do you think how one should treat others? And his answer was, what others? So this is example of consciousness of somebody who just went there and stayed there, right? But here we are, we have potential of experiencing this reality. And Aquarian people are more than any other archetypes are naturally wired to kind of intrinsically understand that we're all interconnected. That's why the tendency to organize together, right? That's why when we're talking about Aquarius, we're talking about groups. They like groups. Why do they like groups? It's a kind of natural drive and draw to be a part of a larger whole. Or friendship. Why does Aquarians are famous for being good friends? Why does Uranus, Aquarius rules friendships? Because there is a connectedness which transcends the sexual, emotional in terms of, water-based, kind of a liking, disliking. It's beyond liking. It is the kinship. It's alliance. It's this innate kind of proclivity to understand the importance of connectivity and interconnectivity. So the Aquarian love or Uranian love is the expression of that consciousness of connectivity. Questions?
You like questions about the quote unquote shadow aspects that get associated or attributed to Aquarius. Why? Detached.
Why detached? Okay, so first of all, Aquarius, Uranus, we are beyond water element, right? We are before Pisces, which is water, but we are mental energy, right? On Uranus or in Aquarius. So clearly the expression won't be water-like, emotion-based. It's a mental principle. Now, again, it's like with this pyramid versus mandala. It's all the angle of perception. If we have detached, let's like look into what is the opposite of detached. It's attached, right? Now, what is attachment based on? Attachment is based on the consciousness of separateness, right? Aloneness. And then when you have something or somebody that you want to claim your own, your fear of losing it or not having it will form a response of trying to cling to it, which creates attachment. That's what we call attachment. So if Aquarius intrinsically is already connected to everything, you know, mentally, it doesn't need to cling. It doesn't need to claim property. There is no need to manifest some sort of ownership, because it's already belong, everything already belongs to one system. Right? Mm-hmm. So detachment, you know, has this emotional overlay of coldness.
Right. Yes.
Right. And that's what people don't like, you know, they don't, might not like it. You know, there is no, well, of course, the person who is, let's say, water-based, let's say Scorpio meets Aquarius and wants to engage Aquarius in the drama, because the drama, the emotional interchange, it kind of is the proof of connection or care. So the, let's say the Scorpio will poke at Aquarius, come on, like show your emotion, engage with me. Why are you indifferent? Why are you not responding? But it's not for Aquarius to engage in the drama, because that's not how you, first of all, exhibit love or commitment or devotion or liking. You can talk about things. So again, this is a perception of coldness. And sure enough, there can be callousness, just like with Saturn, just like with Capricorn. There can be emotional withdrawal, but it's not necessarily, in my astrological, let's say, language, translates into indifference or non-caring. Because any archetype can turn out to be cruel, unkind. You can find it within expression of all archetypes. However, you know, as we live in this sublunar, especially sublunar realm, where we kind of communicate through emotions and we show our connection to each other and relatedness through that, the Aquarius will stand as an emotional kind of cold being. It all depends on the personal inner framework of how this energy will manifest in each individual.
How about the quote that gets attributed to Aquarius quite a bit, which is that it loves humanity. It's the humans that it's not so fond of. Why would you think that that comes up?
Well, because humans is individual relationship, one-on-one.
Mm.
You see, Aquarius feels far more comfortable in the context of interconnectedness, community. Yes, it's more of a thought or the energy of this hive mind that it thrives on. Yeah, and it gets its excitement upon.
Mm.
However, one-on-one is not necessarily Aquarian forte. Mm. Because then you have to go down into all of this mushy kind of like personal, intimate, you know, and Aquarius is not, you know, famous to thrive in intimacy, although it can. You see, we are talking about natural predispositions.
Yeah.
And it's very generalized.
Yeah.
And we cannot apply it to the chart of the person who has Sun in Aquarius or Moon in Aquarius, while all of the other planets are testimony of abilities to engage at a very deep interpersonal level. So let's just all remember, we are generalizing, right? Mm-hmm.
a couple weeks ago, I interviewed my brother, who for me is an Aquarian poster child. He's not initiated into the astrological language, so he would never think of it that way. But just the way he lives his life, his perspective, the way he thinks, it's every time he speaks, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's Aquarius right there. One of the things that he said is, because he's always rallying community, always, everywhere he goes, his entire life, he brings people together and gets so much joy out of it. But I asked him the question, when you do that, do you feel a part of that? Or are you kind of like witnessing it? Like, what's your experience of when you bring people together? Mm-hmm. And he said, 100% without a hesitation, I'm witnessing it. I'm not in there. It's not even about me. I don't even have to be there. I could set it up and leave and I would be just as happy. The fact that I get to bring people together and let them have that experience is enough for me. And I went, wow, that's really beautiful and profound. For that Aquarius, it's not about his experience of that. It's about the act
making
of bringing it happen, making it happen, bringing it together. Yes.
That's a beautiful energy.
So Natasha, what does this all mean? if this is the energetic expression that is going to begin to become more and more saturated in our reality here, how is this going to change life? How is this going to change the way we live life? How is this going to change our experience of reality in this like fragmented dimension?
Okay, so what we talked about when we got to Uranus, now we are back to Earth, that principle of unified consciousness or consciousness that is expressing it through all of us and all of the living beings in the universe, that is going to be magnified. In other words, consciousness, the way we work with consciousness, the way we use consciousness, the way we abuse consciousness, it's all going to be at the center of a lot of people's existence. In other words, the part of us that is pure consciousness is going to be focused on more and more. And we already are witnessing now. I mean, look at the alternative medicine. What's happening there? Consciousness is becoming, or the thoughts, the inner dialogue, the words we say to ourselves, that is all Uranian. And the way it affects the body. You know, the mind-body connection is getting bigger and bigger. And it might take a central place where you will arrive at the point where you can regulate your health via thought. Mm. It's already possible after a lot of training, but it is the basis, as we understood when we were on the road, it's a basis of all reality, because thought is primary to matter. So humanity, more and more, we are going to more and more understand how our consciousness, our mindset creates our reality. Our expectation of reality creates our reality. Our fears hidden in the corners of our mind create our reality. Send out the vibrational field that magnetizes certain events or people to us to confirm either those fears or those joys, or those visions, whatever we contain in our consciousness. So that is, you know, how it's going to take a central place in our existence. I mean, look at the alternative, even conventional medicine is starting to use more and more sound for healing. Frequency-based medicine, energy-based medicine, all of that is being vastly developed right now. Now, if we take Pluto and add into the mix, right? Pluto plus Uranus. Well, let's see how Pluto is going to talk to you. What does Pluto want? Well, there are many things Pluto is capable of expressing. It's a power, right? Pluto seeks power. Pluto wants to use the energy, whatever it comes to transform, transmute, and or manipulate, right? So if we talk about Pluto in Aquarius or Pluto plus Uranus, we're going to be facing the issues of transforming our consciousness, cleansing our minds, using our thoughts, our intelligence, not intelligence is something else, using our the power of the thought in creating the desired outcome. It's kind of a realm of magic, Pluto plus Uranus. Now, as it is always with Pluto, using, transforming, abusing, controlling, manipulating, and that is already being seen on the societal kind of a transnational movement. Control of human mind, right? Pluto plus Uranus. Manipulation of human consciousness. Hacking human consciousness. Directing humanity with thought forms to where whoever wants to, you know, have control wants them to go. And this is nothing new that has always been. I mean, it basically the history of humanity, the control over human mind. However, right now, it's almost like I'm seeing they're all fighting who is going to, who is going to come up with the most clever devices to tap into human mind. And I think I saw the in the news yesterday, the chip inserted. I mean, this is all, of course, part of the trend. So what it means, oh, and by the way, I've seen recently something that shocked me but not surprised me at all, a paper that NATO have released a year or 2 years ago, which was called something like The Future of Cognitive Warfare, stating that the battlefield of the future won't be the weapons. And the humans fighting each other with weapons. The battlefield is going to be the human mind. How is that for Pluto plus Uranus combo? So knowing all that and knowing that our consciousness is going to be more and more empowered with Pluto there, have more and more potential to open up, to elevate, to be transformed or not, or hacked. We really need to discipline and pay a lot of attention. We don't need to, but my advice would be pay a lot of attention of what is it we're allowing to enter our minds, our information field. Because the veils there are very thin, if any at all. We got to be really discerning into what kind of energy, frequency, vibration we are letting enter our precious consciousness. We need to be protective, loving, and at the same time, choose the messages, the affirmations, the words we're using, the teachings that we want to resonate with or become and or become. So the potency here is tremendous. For those interested in cultivating higher consciousness, opening up our minds to whole new dimensions, new realities, to connect to this divine mind to the degree we humans can, to experience that wholeness and that harmonization with all that is, that is a very potent time. You know, I don't really watch TV or read newspapers. I do read some news, but from a very selected sources. But I've been driving my car with my dog recently, and the radio was on. I had the radio on. And so on the music station. And so after every song, there would be an advertisement selling insurance, selling cars. This is how you can save. This is how you can protect yourself in case of danger. So that those words, that information between the music have been pounding my mind. And so as I imagine billions of people's minds on the daily level, So I thought, well, imagine what if instead of this fear-based insurance selling or something else selling advertisement, there would be these brilliant quotes, spiritual quotes of wisdom inserted between the songs. All day out, all over the countries.
Everything would change.
Everything would change. So, whether there is somebody interested in keeping us at a certain level of consciousness or not, obviously there is. It is up to us to make efforts and create our own frame of consciousness and guard it and cultivate and work on it and connect. As Aquarius and Uranus like to do with like-minded people.
There's strength in that.
There is strength in that.
we can be sometimes when that hypnotic state comes in, you know, when you've opened yourself up to the radio or whatever, and those other thought forms are present, the consciousness that remembers that we're unified, that remembers that we're love, that remembers all those, can help pull us out of that those places. It's the group can be so helpful in that way too, and much more powerful than the other, you know.
But the other doesn't even need to enter our field.
Right. It doesn't. Natasha, it seems to me, and maybe eventually we'll get to do a Neptune episode.
Oh, yeah.
But something you said earlier, there's so many puzzle pieces coming together for me. I don't know about all of you, but wow. This idea that thoughts precede matter, when taken from the literal concept of Uranus being further out than Saturn,
Uranus precedes Saturn.
Right, of course, because Uranus comes, and when you did the first visualization, when we were talking about Saturn, and when our soul in that visualization entered through the gates of each planet, and at each planetary gate picked up something, you know, or absorbed, I don't know how to think about it, but, you know, merged with the consciousness of the planets as we went through those gates.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense because we have Uranus there and then we go into Saturn, and that's when those thought forms start to crystallize and fragment and all that. And Neptune is further out than Uranus.
Yes.
So when you're talking, I'm thinking, what does Neptune have for us that we pick up first? And that to me is this love, because all the things you're talking about with Uranus and the abuse of power and the abuse of consciousness and the manipulation, it's when Uranus forgets about love. When Uranus, and I'm just not saying Uranus, that isn't even the right way to say it. It's consciousness without love, or consciousness where love is blocked, is when those desires to abuse and manipulate and all that would even come in. So Neptune setting the tone or the frequency of love that then all these things filter through.
Yes.
It's a different experience of the same energies.
Yes. However, we don't leave love behind when we pass by Neptune and move towards Uranus.
No. It filters through everything.
Well, love is an interesting word because everybody, and there are so many connotations and there are so many experiences. When each of us hear the word love, we will have maybe a little bit different sensation.
Right.
So what is love?
I was thinking agape love. I was thinking, yeah, the highest expression of love, whatever highest, whatever, but agape love.
Okay, agape love. Well, let's move to Uranus and see what happens with that love. Okay?
Yeah.
So as we talked about Uranus, consciousness, sound, frequency, sacred geometry, math, high mathematics, numbers that are the foundation for this matrix, the divine matrix, all of geometry that underlies all of the creation that is that lives on Uranus. Now, Uranian state of love is when those geometrical, however cold and mental it sounds, or numerical formations come to harmony.
Coherence.
That's coherence. And that's the feeling in human form of love.
Ah, yes.
So although Aquarius is mental and Uranus is a mental plane, and everything in this created reality is mind-based, that doesn't make it cold. Because coherence, harmony, just like that mandala behind me, is love.
Yes. Woo! Yes. It's so good. Yes.
I once, by mistake, was given an oil, a Rick Simpson oil, to try. So I took a couple of drops of that very concentrated oil, and because I'm so highly sensitive anyway, it took me out into the realm of geometry. In other words, my mind and my reality and everything around me, outside and inside, started taking geometrical forms.
Mm.
And it happens to a lot of people. I mean, people who go into psychedelic experiences and then make paintings, like visual artists, there is a lot of geometry. So it kind of like a holographic image underlying the what we see as matter, as material plane. And then I started using words, thinking about words or certain expression. And each time I would think about certain expression, it would turn into the geometric form. So I would see how this word or that concept looks geometrically.
Wow.
Three-dimensional or even multidimensional geometrical structure. And so after many, it was such an interesting journey. So my curiosity was all high, and I was just traveling from one concept to us. And finally, I arrived at the word love. Wondering whether that energy or that concept can be. And so the moment I thought love, the words broke down into a beautiful, I remember the green color of in that mandala, into a most beautiful shape, color. And that's when I realized that everything in this universe seeks to harmonize into the oneness. And when that happens, that's what love, the divine love, is.
Making me cry. So beautiful. I've never heard that story before, Natasha. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us. I know we're at our time. Is there anything, any final thoughts, words, ideas that we could just mic drop on that story if you want, because it's just so amazing. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover that we haven't yet?
There is a lot. I mean, those are the realms I like to travel to. So we can do another episode at some point as we move into Pluto and Aquarius. But yeah, I would like to just repeat what I think I already mentioned. Just let's take care of our consciousness. Let's be mindful.
Wow. Thank you. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Natasha. I just adore you and what you bring to this community. Thank you. And to my life personally, always. Thank you. That was gorgeous. Just like after our Saturn episode, I feel like I have this entire new perception of Uranus and it. And what I love about the way we're traveling through the planets together is that there's an intimate understanding. There's a visceral,
yes,
in the body, in the heart.
Yes.
Intimate experience and all the right and wrong and, you know, high and low and all those things. It's like we get an opportunity to enter into seeing it from that oneness perspective, into seeing it from just like that Rumi quote, out beyond the field of right and wrong, out beyond the realm of right and wrong, there's a field, I'll meet you there. It's like we get to meet there. That's what I feel we get to do.
In the field where judgment is left behind.
Totally. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Natasha. For those of you who resonate with this type of conversation and who want more and who love to immerse yourself in these kinds of, in reality, to me, it's reality with a capital R. You know, it's like, it's the beauty of this universe and this experience of being alive. And so if you love this, just make sure that you're signed up for our Insider, our Cosmic Insider. It's our free weekly communication with you that will let you know about the different conversations that we had on the platform. You can always look for conversations we've had with Natasha. She is, like I said, if you haven't heard the story, you'll understand. But Natasha is so near and dear to me personally and to so many of us here at Astrology Hub. So you can go back and watch other episodes we've done. Natasha is available for readings. We do have our recommended astrologers. Natasha, of course, is one of those. You can go to astrologyhub.com/connect and connect with an astrologer, including Natasha. And yeah, we would love to stay in touch. So astrologyhub.com/insider is the way to just stay in communication with us. And Natasha, thank you so much. Thank you for being that voice that connects with me and says, we need to talk. We need to talk. I love you so much. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for being a part of this conversation and these explorations. Thank you for being a part of our community. And thank you for making astrology a part of your life.
This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.